We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Your religion, is it superficial or is it supernatural? You're going to find two kinds listed here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. These are serious times in which we're living. But I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that we who are saved, we who are born again, need to be living in keeping with the urgency and the emergency of these times. And we need in our lives, and we need in our churches, and we need in our faith a reality, real religion. And so we're talking today about real religion, not religion that is superficial, but religion that is supernatural. And so our text today breaks itself very logically and very easily in two divisions. First of all, I want you to see the dangers of superficial religion. And then secondly, I want you to see the delights of supernatural religion. Now look at the scripture here, James chapter 1 and verse 26, and you will see the dangers of superficial religion. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Three dangers of superficial religion are mentioned here. The first danger is that it lacks reality. It lacks reality. Look at it. If any man among you seem to be religious. Now, there's so many people who only have a form of godliness. They have a name that they live, but they're dead. And their religion is only an illusion. It's only something that seems to be, but there is no reality to it. And there's nothing worse. Mark it down. There's nothing worse than religion without reality. Oh, it ought to be real to you. It ought to be vibrant to you. You ought to have a no-so, not a hope-so or a maybe-so salvation. You ought to have a no-so salvation. Your salvation ought to have reality to it. It ought to have reality to it. You ought to say, I know that I'm saved. You see, James chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you want sometime something that's fun to do, get you a Bible that you don't mind marking. And by the way, you shouldn't mind writing in any Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people think it's sacrilegious to write in a Bible. It's not. You take those Bibles and wear them out and then get you another one and wear it out. Brother, a Christian that has a Bible that's falling apart generally has a life that's not falling apart. And you just take your Bible and every time you come to the word know, K-N-O-W, in 1 John, you just draw a circle around it. Take a red pen and draw a circle around it. And when you're finished, 1 John will look like a polka-dotted dress. That word know, 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 over and over and over again. Oh, there is to be the assurance of your salvation. But the problem with so many people is their salvation lacks reality. They don't know that they have been born again. Have you been born again? If you have, you ought to know it. It ought to be just as real. It ought to be just as real as your first birth. Will Rogers one time went to apply for a passport, and they asked him for his birth certificate. He said, what do you want my birth certificate for? They said, for proof of your birth. He said, well, I'm here, ain't I? That ought to be proof enough. Oh, listen, friend, it ought to be just as real to you as your first birth. Someone asked Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists who's ever lived, Mr. Moody, what is the secret of your evangelistic success? Give me, if you would please, a resume of your career. And these are the words of Dwight L. Moody. Here's how Moody answered that man. He said, "My name is Dwight L. Moody. I was born the first time in 1837. I was born the second time in 1856. My body is soon to die, but my spirit, born two times, is immortal." That's all he said. Oh, how real the second birth was to Dwight L. Moody. He knew that he'd been born again. The problem with superficial religion is that it lacks reality. It is but an illusion. Notice what James said, if any man seem to be religious. Do you just simply seem to be religious? Or have you, my friend, been born again? Now, let me say secondly, not only does superficial religion lack in reality, it also is lacking in restraint. Look again at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, who cannot restrain his own tongue, then that man's religion is vain. What is James saying? James is so very practical. James says, if you have been saved, if you have been born again, if your religion is real, it's going to show in the way that you talk. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the prime marks that a person has been born again is his speech patterns. You're going to find an individual who's been born again praising God and witnessing. And you're going to find the person who's not been born again, you're going to find him criticizing and carping. And you're going to find him cursing. And you're going to find him lying. And you're going to find him exaggerating. And James has so much to say about the tongue, and little wonder that he has. Now, this is not the only area where we need restraint, but James uses the tongue as an illustration of the fact that when a man is saved, it changes his life. If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion, because you don't have the kind that saves. Now, James is speaking about the dangers of superficial religion. And he says, number one, it lacks reality. Number two, it lacks restraint. It has no power to change a life. And then thirdly, it lacks in results. Look at it again, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Look at that word vain. That word vain means fruitless, non-productive, an exercise in futility. You're simply spinning your wheels. This religion can do you no good. It lacks in results. There is nothing to it. The sum total is nothing. It's like a zero with the edges trimmed off. It is nothing, no good, a waste of time. So many people think there's value in religion. Every now and then someone will stand up and say, what we need is more religion in America. Not necessarily so. Most of the people in America are religious but lost. They need to turn from religion to Jesus Christ. Religion can be vain, empty, vapid, of no good, whatever. It lacks in results. One minister was trying to win a young man to faith in Jesus Christ, to have this young man born again. And this young man looked at that minister and said, it won't do you any good to talk to me. He said, I have tried religion for 5 years and it did me no good whatever. And the minister smiled and said, I know what you mean. I tried religion for 15 years and it did me no good either, and I finally gave it up. And the man said, you did? Then why are you a minister? He said, because I found Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that Christianity is not just one more religion. It is a vital relationship with a person. When you get saved, you receive Jesus Christ. He comes into you. His spirit lives in you. He changes you from the inside. Religion is simply the outward expression of what's on the inside. And dear friend, if you don't have Christ on the inside, then your religion is superficial. If you have Christ on the inside, then your religion is supernatural. When you got married, you didn't get the marriage religion. You got your wife or your husband. When you get saved, you don't merely get the Christian religion. You get Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into you. Oh, the dangers of superficial religion. The worst thing about superficial religion is that people who have it don't even know they have it. They deceive their own hearts. They are religious but lost. They go to church on Sundays. They pay their tithe. They sing in the choir. They do all of this. And when they die, they're going to hell. The devil would just as soon send you to hell from this pew as he had the gutter. It makes no difference to him. The devil doesn't mind you being religious so long as you don't have Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you that it was a religious crowd that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Religion does not save. Jesus saves. It is a vital relationship, a new birth. Now, James, very practical and very plain and very pungently and very powerfully, James speaks of the dangers of superficial religion. And then James speaks of the delights of supernatural religion. Notice how James contrasts the two. Now he speaks in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, that is orphans, and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now here's James' terse description of supernatural religion, pure religion and undefiled, and it is in three dimensions. Look at it. First of all, it reaches upward. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. It reaches upward to heaven. It reaches upward to God. It recognizes God as Father. Now, friend, there's only one way to have God as your Father, and that is to have Christ as your Savior so that you're born again. Contrary to popular opinion, God is not the Father of everyone. We hear people today talk in glowing terms about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of men. But there is nothing in the Bible that teaches the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of men. God is only the Father of those who have been born again. God is only the Father of those who have been saved, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus said to the unsaved Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. The Bible says in John 1, 12, concerning the Lord Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, as many as received Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name. Look, friend, in verse 18 of James 1. Here James speaks of the new birth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of whose own will? Of God's own will begat he us, fathered he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here James speaks of the new birth, begotten of God through the word of God. Through the preaching of the word of God, when a man hears this word, believes this word, receives this word, is transformed by this word, he is born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You see, real religion reaches upward. That's the only way you can reach. You can't put your hands under your feet and lift yourself off the ground. You can't lift yourself by your own bootstraps. There is, dear friend, the supernatural aspect of this religion that reaches upward, and we place our hand in the hand of God. For the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace is God reaching down to you. Faith is your reaching up to God. And when your hand of faith meets God's hand of grace, that's salvation. What about the delights of supernatural religion? It reaches upward. But not only does it reach upward, it reaches outward. Look in verse 27 again. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. When a man has been transformed, when a man has been saved, when a man has been born again, it is going to give to that man a heart of compassion. He's going to reach out to those in distress. Now, James is not saying by any stretch of the imagination that the only people that we're to visit, the only people that we're to minister to are widows and orphans. That's not what James is saying. James is using this to be illustrative of the fact that when we're saved, we are going to minister to those in need. And all around us, there are people who are in need. And if you've been saved, if you've been born again, Jesus Christ wants to minister to those people through you. This is the mark of anybody who's been born again. Somebody needs your love. And Jesus Christ has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet, no tongue but yours, no eyes but yours, no ears but yours. And he wants to work and minister through you. And if you have been saved, and if your religion is real, it's not merely going to show up on Sunday when you sit in a pew, but it's going to show up on Monday when you do something in a very practical way. In a very practical way. Again, translating your faith into daily living. Oh, how we need to help one another. Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They left him wounded and stripped, bleeding, dying. And a Levite, who was a very religious man, passed by on the other side, and a priest passed by. But then a Samaritan, a despised person, part of a mongrel race, came. But the Samaritan didn't pass him by. The Samaritan knelt down by him and gave him medication and gave him encouragement. And finally, the Samaritan put him on his beast, took him to an inn, took care of him. There Jesus tells three philosophies of life that are all over the world. First of all, they're the beater-uppers. They're represented by these thieves. And then they're the passer-uppers. They're represented by the priest and the Levites who went by on the other side. And here was this poor man down there in the ditch, and they were religious, but they passed him by. They left him there. They're the passer-uppers. And then they're the picker-uppers. There's this Samaritan who came by and picked him up and ministered to him. Now, the Bible teaches that if you're saved, you're not going to be a beater-upper or a passer-upper. You're going to be a picker-upper. Real religion, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Oh, dear friend, is it real to you? Has your religion transformed you in this area? And then I want you to notice the third mark of supernatural religion. Not only does it reach upward, and not only does it reach outward, but it reaches inward. Look again in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is, it reaches inward. It's going to give you a pure heart if you've really been saved, if you've really been born again, if there's reality in your life. Now, what does James mean when he says the world? He's not talking here about the physical planet Earth. He's not talking about the world of nature. He's not even talking about the world of men, for God loves the world of men. But he's talking about an ungodly value system that the Bible calls the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, the Bible says. And the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, the Bible says that friendship with the world is warfare with God. Now, many people have joined a church, but they still love this world. Christianity is just something they have tacked on. They are baptized pagans, living double lives, coming to church on Sunday and going through a form, but going out there on Monday and being just as much a part of this ungodly system with no transformation whatever in their lives. Now, James says that if your religion is real, not only is it going to reach upward, and not only is it going to reach outward, it's going to reach inward. You're going to keep yourself unspotted from this world. And the only way to do that is to be born again and to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by struggling. It's not by trying. It's by trusting. We live in a power-conscious age. But if you were to take all of the megatons of hydrogen bombs and all of the rest of the bombs that the world has ever created, or the people have ever created, take all of those bombs ever exploded, ever will be exploded, and take them somehow into the lapels of your coat and detonate those explosions, it would vaporize your body, but you'd never be able to blast the sin out of your spirit. It would still be there. You see, that kind of power can't do it, and willpower can't do it. But I want to tell you, friend, there is a dynamite in this book called the gospel. The Greek word for gospel is dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamite of God. And I want to tell you, I've seen that dynamite go off. It went off in my own heart. And it blasted sin and hatred out of my own heart. And where that was, there's now a river bubbling up, a spring bubbling up. I remember as I, too, did not have the reality in my life I wanted. I'd been a church member. I wasn't certain I was saved because when I came forward as a child, they didn't deal with me properly. And I remember stopping one night as a struggling teenager, trying to live a pure life. Stopped one night on the corner of 39th Street and Calvin Avenue in West Palm Beach and looked straight up into the starry heavens and said, "Oh God, I don't know whether I'm saved or lost, but I want to know, I need to know. And Lord, I have seen in your word where you've said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And oh God, with all of my heart, once and forever, oh every inch and every ounce, as much as in me is, oh God, I trust you, Jesus, and you alone to save me." And when I said that, a river of peace began to flow in my heart, and it's still flowing to this very moment. When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and it became real to me, real to me. Is it real to you? Oh, my dear friend, it needs to be. Quit living a superficial life. Start living a supernatural life. Stop enduring religion. Start enjoying salvation. Let yourself come into the fullness of God's blessings for you. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I want to tell you what real religion will do for you, friend. In the first place, it will do in times of sorrow. Well, you say, Brother Rogers, I don't have any sorrow. Well, wait a while then. You will. You will. You mark it down, you are destined for sorrow. You'll not escape. But I want to tell you, if you've got the real thing, it'll do when you face sorrow. Not only will it do in time of sorrow, it'll do in time of death. Some of you have a religion that seems all right to live by, but, mister, it's no good to die by. And the real test of your religion is when your feet touch those chilly waters of the river of death. Is Jesus Christ real? Can you feel in your hand a nail-scarred hand? The one who said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Not only will it see you through sorrow and see you through death, but it'll see you through the judgment. Oh, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to check up. Is it superficial or is it supernatural? Have you been born again?
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for you from now on. Amen." And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683.
Thank you, and may God richly bless you.